Called Building Lives on Solid Foundations, and we took as our verse Psalm 11 and verse number 3, and it says there, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we talked about what you can do if the foundations be restored, and that is to build your life on the living Word of God. One of the men tell me, who is the living Word of God? Brother Kyle.
Christ.
Christ. He's the living Word of God. Everything that God is, he's the expression of God. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And we haven't seen him physically, but if you've seen him by the eye of faith, then you can build your life on the living Word of God. And Jesus put it this way. He said, search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. So, see, the Pharisees read the Bible just as a theological book. They didn't have any relationship with the living God, even though they professed to know God. They didn't have that because they denied the Messiah who came from God. They denied God the Son who expressed who God was. So, listen, they had no relationship to the living Word of God. There are many people like that today in religions. They're religious people. They have a form of godliness, but listen to me, they deny the power of it. Well, what's the power of godliness? The living Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And the question tonight is, do you just have a dead religion? Do you just have a dead Baptist religion? Or do you have a relationship to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, it will make a difference in your life. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Whatever men may say, I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Have you heard His voice? Do you follow Him? Do you know Him? Whom to know is life eternal. If you know Him, one day you'll see Him face to face. But now you see through a glass darkly. You see Him with the eyes of faith. And you need to have that faith. Moses saw Him in the wilderness, and he endured as seeing Him who's invisible. And we should see Him even better, beloved. And so we've been talking about that, building your life on the foundation of the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we said last week that that means you built your salvation on the only foundation stone already laid. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. You know what I'm happy about tonight? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I am so glad for His oath, His covenant, His blood. They do support me in the whelming flood. I have put my life, and the foundation's already laid. What does that mean? The work of our salvation is finished. He said it's finished, and it has been finished ever since His blood was given and His life was given. It's finished for the people in the Old Testament look forward to Him, and in the New Testament for those that would look back to Him. It's a finished salvation, and so it's already been laid. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. And we said also, You build your life on the foundation of the living Word of God by building your salvation on the foundation stone already laid, and then by building your life on the only foundation stone that will never fail you. And it says in Romans 9:33, for as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And you build your life on the foundation stone, it will never fail you. And I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't fail us. Not to be ashamed means that when you step on something, you don't want it to collapse under you. And we said, you know, people step on things and it collapses. In fact, the whole city of Scranton is built on mine shafts that have collapsed. That's called mine subsidence. I'm so glad in the city of Scranton, sad to say, much of Scranton, Lackawanna Valley, is built on a false foundation called the Pope. And they put their faith in the Pope. And that the Pope gives the cardinals and the bishops and the priests grace. And then through a system there of the sacraments, you get a little more grace, a little more grace. And finally, you're declared righteous if you work with that grace. And they never know whether they are. And so there's not a good foundation there. That's not the foundation. Peter said, I am not the big stone. I'm not the big rock. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. And so we can put our trust in him and not be ashamed. We won't be let down. We saw that last week. Build your life on the foundation of the living Word of God. Now, I want to go on to a second message, building lives on solid foundations. And I want to talk to you about building from God's mouth to your ear. Building your life, get this, from God's mouth to your ear. Now, you say, how can I do that? Well, you need to build your faith resting on the written Word of God. Build your life on a solid foundation of the written Word of God. Are you doing that? Not everybody is doing that. And I want to just say 2 points under that. By building with your faith resting on the Word of God, the written Word of God. Here's what it says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, what's faith? Faith is a confidence concerning what you cannot see with your visible eyes based on what's written in the Word of God. All people don't have faith. And people that do have faith, you need to exercise that faith in the Word of God. Whole books have been written by people that have died and gone to heaven, but I have looked at those books and they contradict many times the Word of God. And I say, who am I going to believe? Their experience seems so exciting. Their experience seems so real. Their experience. But my faith is not built on experience of people. My faith is built on the experience of the prophets of God in the Scripture and upon the apostles of God of the Scripture. My faith is built on the Word of God. And that is tonight what you need to do if you're going to build your life on a solid foundation. Not only a relationship to the living Word is the foundation of your life, but the written Word of God, the Bible, as the foundation of your life. Now, let me say something here. The Bible says an astounding statement in Psalm 138, verse 2. It says, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. We've been talking about the living Word. You talking about God magnifies his written word above his name? You know, the name of God represents his person. If I say Eric Zukowski, you think of Eric Zukowski. If I say Jose Valley, you think of Jose Valley. Bob Majeski, you think of Bob Majeski. When we say the name of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, we think of our Lord and our God, and the name of God represents his person. So the name, the Lord Jesus Christ, represents his person. So when it says that God has magnified his word above his name, that means, one of the men tell me, he's magnified his word above what? His what? Out loud. Yeah, and what does his name represent? His what? Come on. His person. I just said it. So God has exalted his name above his person. And why is that? Why would he do that? Because you can't know who God is, and you can't believe in him as a person without having a communication, a written word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. His word defines who he is, so that you can know him and you could put your trust in him. That's why I am so thankful I have a book that tells me exactly who he is, so I can know him and I can trust him. But if you don't have a relationship to base your life upon this book, you don't know him at all. Or if you do know him at all, you don't know him very much. I am saying to you, it is very important to build your faith resting on the written word of God. So that's why Jesus said, when he speaks about himself as the living word, he says, search the scripture, for them, in them you think you have eternal life. He says, they are they which testify of me. In other words, I love to get in the scripture and it testifies all about Jesus. He's in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He's all through the book. He's the Alpha of it, the Omega of it. He's all through the book. Remember when he testified after he rose from the dead? He just took them through the book. And he declared, they were depressed, but he got them in the book. And he showed them in the book himself. He showed them all the scriptures concerning himself. And thank God he didn't stop with his death. He got to his resurrection. And then their eyes were opened and they realized, oh, wow, here he is. He's with us right now. But the Bible says their hearts just burned within them when they heard of him expounded in the scripture. Oh, man, you want to walk around depressed? You want to walk around discouraged? Don't get into the word and see him in the word of God. You need to see him in the word of God. And thank God we can preach Jesus from the word of God. I don't preach myself. I don't preach some other man. I don't preach Donald Trump or anybody else. My hope is in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's wonderful tonight. His name is wonderful. The Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father or Patriarch. That's greater than Abraham the Patriarch and Isaac the Patriarch. He's the Everlasting Patriarch. He's the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh man, he is God. He is the one that saves us. He's the one that heals us. He's the one that keeps us. He's Jesus. Oh man, and I'm just saying that you can build your faith resting on the written word of God. And I encourage you to do that. Oh, we need to be a Bible believing, Bible teaching, Bible preaching church, and preach Jesus in the church and in our lives. And you need to build your life on the foundation of the written word of God, not only by building your faith resting on the written word, but by building from God's mouth to your ear. God's mouth to your ear. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, you can build from God's mouth to your ear. Now, what is inspiration? Well, inspiration is, it says, it's given, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that mean? When scripture is given, when it's given, it's given by God's breath. All right? Take your hand and put it half an inch from your face. Everybody do that. And say into it, Peter Piper, pick the pack. Do it like that. Peter Piper, pick the pack of pickled peppers. Now, when I'm doing that, when you're doing that, what do the men tell me? What do you feel in the palm of your hand? Jose? Your hot breath. Your hot, wet breath, right? Peter Piper, I feel my hot, wet breath, mint flavored, because I suck on mint, in my hand. I do that. Now, I am saying that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed through Peter. God breathed through John. I don't believe when they wrote, they were like automatons and just wrote like somebody's devil-possessed. I believe God used Peter's personality. So the Holy Spirit spoke through Peter's personality. He spoke through John's personality. He spoke through James's personality. He spoke through all the scripture writers, Isaiah and so forth, through their personality. But every word came out exactly the way God wanted it. Every word, so it's verbally the word of God. God breathing. So, you say, what are you talking about? If I blow on a tuba, it's going to come out different than I blow on a cornet, right? Or a flute. It's the same me blowing through it, but it's a different instrument. God chose the instruments to speak through so that it would come out his very word. I hope that helps you understand it. So, it says all scripture is given when it was given by inspiration of God. And I believe he preserves it alive through copies and translations. Thank God for that. Now, when you do that, since there are many different English versions, you've got to decide which one is the inspired word-for-word Bible. I've already decided that, and it's the King James Bible. Amen? And so I don't put it on trial every time somebody else comes up with another doubt. I can answer a lot of those. I may not be able to answer everything because I'm not God, but I have decided this is the Word of God. And so I don't have to guess. And I'm saying all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So I want to say, first of all, it's personal and private information. What is doctrine? Doctrine is simply Bible teaching, but it is straight from God. It is personal, God-breathed teaching about himself and about his will for our lives. And what a wonderful thing it is to get private information. Hey, have you ever, personal, have you ever had somebody, raise your hand if you ever had somebody whisper a secret in your ear? All right. And could you feel the hot, wet breath in your ear when they did it? Yeah, you could do that sometime. And that's when they're, you know, whispering a secret in your ear. And other people can't hear that secret, you know. I'm sure the girls over here do that all the time. Girls are always whispering in one another's ears, aren't they? Young girls, they're always whispering some kind of secret, you know. I don't know how important it is, but it probably seems very important to them. And it's a nice thing for somebody to tell you a secret, though. It makes you kind of on the inside. I know things that other people don't know. Well, I'm so glad I'm on the inside with God. Amen. It's profitable for personal, private teaching, Bible doctrine. That's what it is. And God gives it to us. You say, what are you talking about? The Bible says the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He can't know them by experience. He can know them maybe just intellectually memorized facts, but he doesn't have an experiential knowledge of the Word of God. But you do. What does the Bible say? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. All that's talking about, if you're a God-fearing person, you have a personal relationship with the God of the Bible and the Bible of God. And so you have private, personal information. So I'm just saying this evening that the Bible is profitable for that kind of doctrine so that you can understand that Bible doctrine in a personal way and in an intimate way. Hey, how much more is it exciting if somebody that you love, Brother Jose, would whisper in your ear and say, I love you, Jose. I mean, that's a nice thing, whispering that right in your ear. But you know, that's part of what the Bible is profitable for. God whispering to you, I love you. It's his love letter. And it's for his people, only his people. And what a blessing that is. It's profitable for private, personal information. And the Bible says that that is something you can have. But it's also profitable. It's also profitable not only for private and personal information, but it is profitable information. It's profitable, as we said, for doctrine. By the way, the doctrine in the Bible is profitable. It's just profitable information because Bible doctrine will profit your life. It will, you know, a lot of people are interested in profits, but not profitable information from the Bible. Do you know this book is more valuable than silver and gold? There are people, they're all interested in investing and in silver and gold. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, that's fine, but you can't take any of that with you. You can't. But you can take with you what God does through the Word of God in your life and in other lives. It's profitable. It's profitable for your marriage, for your home, for your family, for everything else. And I get so discouraged when I think of believers that could be under Bible teaching. And they have the opportunity to have the right Bible and have the profitableness of it. And it's too hard to come out. And so what do? They watch the square glare. And I have heard people say, I have learned how to do this from some sitcom on TV, some family on television, learned how to live as a family. My burden is we're going to build lives on solid foundation. And it's going to be built on a relationship to the living Christ. And it's going to be built on a relationship to His Word. You say, does that mean I have to have some hardship and come out and sit on hard pews and come out on a Wednesday night? No. Yeah, exactly. Endure some hardness as a good soldier. Americans are soft and lazy. And American Christians, it is so sad, they're not profiting as they could profit. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, and they, the early church, continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Continued and steadfast. There are some people, they come a while, then they drop out. Don't be a dropout. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I remember years ago, we had our church on Wayne Avenue. I remember preaching and teaching the Word of God. And I remember two men came to the church. They were cousins. They were first cousins. They were first cousins on the maternal side. And they came to church, and the one guy came ahead of the other guy. And he was here earlier than the other guy. And he was sitting under Bible teaching and benefiting from Bible teaching. And then he brought this new guy here. And I thought the first cousin is ahead of the new guy. The new guy is behind. You know, he's new. He's like a new Christian. But you know what? The first guy that came got away from the church and got away from Bible doctrine. And a few years later, I ran into the first guy at a funeral, I believe it was. The second guy was still in our church. And I talked to that first guy at the funeral, and I realized the second guy is so far ahead of you spiritually. He is so far ahead of you. He's so profited. The second guy was Joe Slobodnik. And I had seen the effects of him being out of the Catholic Church and in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I think of our men's prayer meeting. Brother Jose Valley prayed last Saturday at our men's prayer meeting, and he was in his prayer, he was talking about how he profited from the Bible preaching and teaching in the ministries of this church and how he has grown spiritually. The proof of the pudding is in the people that continue, listen to me, steadfastly, and I will say, you will prove otherwise. You will be like a baby tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine if you don't continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine taught in the local New Testament church. And here's what the Bible says. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. Don't be like that, because all Scripture is profitable. It's personal and private information. It's profitable information, and it is profitable for reproving you. You know, I have in my office downstairs a full-length mirror. And you know what the problem is? I don't often use it before I go into service. I probably should look at myself in the mirror. You say, why should you do that? Well, because if I don't look at myself in the mirror, some lady's going to come up to me and say, oh, you've got this on you, or that is bad, or something's wrong in you. How many of you ladies have ever corrected me? Don't raise your hand. I know you have. But you know what? I'm saying, if I looked in that mirror before I came up, I might spot it myself. And then I wouldn't lose 50% of the congregation looking at a problem on my body instead of listening to what I'm saying. And you know what? That's what the Bible is. It's like a mirror to reprove you and show you where something is wrong in your life. And that's what it says in 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know, last Sunday night I was preaching on the second kind of filling of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned the first kind of filling, and then I mentioned Sunday night a whole message on the second kind of filling of the Holy Spirit. And I remember talking about Tom Williams and him being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember talking about Acts chapter 4. It said the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? I kind of looked. I thought to myself, looking at some people Sunday night, maybe you thought of that too. I said, some of these people need to be shaken. Here's a guy on a cell phone. He needs to be shaken. And he needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. A lot of Christians are not filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't have the power of the Holy Ghost on them. They need a fresh baptism with and in the Holy Ghost to soul winning power. And it says in Acts 4, they'd been filled in Acts 2, but now they were persecuted, and they said, I need a filling. I need a fresh filling. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And so they prayed. And it says, listen to me, the place was shaken. Some of you need to be shaken. And I was looking for God to shake the place. He didn't shake it, so I thought, I'll shake it. And I started shaking things and beating on things. I heard a guy one time went to a conference. He took his shoe off and started beating on it. And beat the Holy Spirit into them, you know. They needed to be shaken up. God will use unusual means sometime to get our attention. But we get into our rituals and our routines and we leave no room for the Spirit of God. Anyway, I won't re-preach that message. But what I'm saying is that when I preach that message, some people came to the altar and they were reproved, and I believe they were reproved to realize I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. Not like they were in the book of Acts. I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's just an illustration of reproof. I'm saying to you, we've got too few pulpits in the United States of America where there's Spirit-filled preaching of the Word of God that will reprove you. We need that mirror. We need that reproof in our life. And the Bible says reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and Bible teaching, Bible doctrine. But it's not only profitable for doctrine and for reproof, but for correction. Correction. The Apostle James warned against something that you can do in church, and I can do in church, and in a conference or anything else. And what is that he warned? You can hear a good sermon. You can hear good teaching. And you can be taught by it. You can be reproved. That means show where you're wrong by it. And then, you know what? You just get into activities at home and in life, and you forget everything you've heard. You just let it go out of your mind. And you don't correct your life based on what you heard. Our youth pastor, Sunday night, he heard the message on the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I used a particular illustration. I used an illustration of Tom Williams. How many were here to remember that illustration? Tom Williams. And I said Tom Williams was in the dorm. And I was dorm president then, and we had him in, and I had a time of question and answers with all the preacher boys in the dorm. And a guy named Louis Konopka, who later became a pastor in Grand Rapids, Michigan for many years, Louis said to evangelist Tom Williams, he said, Tom, we could put you in a room with 100 men and you'd stand out every time. Why do you stand out from other men that we know? He said, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was. And he said, I'm busy all the time, because he said, there's so many men, they're not filled with the Holy Ghost like they should be. They're not available for God the Holy Ghost to do whatever he wants with them. They're too busy quenching the Holy Ghost, too busy grieving the Holy Ghost. They're not praying for the power of the Holy Ghost, making themselves available. And Tom Williams said, he said, when God gives me something to say, I'll say it. And he said whatever God gave him to say. And I watched that over the years, and they fired him at Baptist Bible. They fired him because he said things that rankled the staff there, the teachers there. Well, Tom Williams kept going, and praise the Lord for that. He was a burning bush. But anyway, Brother Zukowski, Tuesday, he said to me, he said, Pastor, I'd like to pray with you. We usually pray on Thursdays, but I'm glad we prayed Tuesday, because I won't be able to pray with you on Thursday. But we prayed Tuesday. And he said, Pastor, I want to pray with you. And you know what he wanted to pray for? That we'd have revival and we would be filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost. So we could see the impact that they saw in the book of Acts. And all I'm saying is he wanted to correct himself. And I don't want to be a preacher that is a forgetful hearer. That's what the Bible says. It said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. James 1, 23 and 24. See, if you're going to benefit from the word of God, you need not only to hear it, be reproved by it, but you need to make corrections. And that is something that you're going to have to give attention to it and benefit from it. I like what Charles Ware said. I don't want to be a castaway, he said, to my own doctrine. Preachers can do that. We can just preach it and not be reproved by it enough and corrected by it. And then we don't profit. And it's profitable not only for that, but finally, it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. What does instruction in righteousness mean? It means training in living according to the Word of God. Listen, if you are saved, you are a disciple of Christ, and you are to be trained. Disciple means a disciplined one. If you're going to grow in grace, your life, listen, has to be disciplined by living out the Word of God. And not just being reproved by it, corrected by it, but now putting it into practice day after day, week after week, and being trained by it. I don't know if you remember when you first learned to ride a bicycle. I remember my father bought me a two-wheeler. He said, if you stop sucking your thumb, I'll get it for you on your birthday. I sucked my thumb all the time. My teeth were starting to buck out a little bit. And he said, if you stop sucking your thumb, I was my fifth birthday. He said, when you're five, I will buy you that bike. And the bike was hanging from a big hardware store that we used to go into in Grand Rapids, Northwestern Grand Rapids. And we used to go in there, and I saw that bike, and he got me that bike. And I remember getting on that two-wheeler after he got it for me, and it was like, then I went down, you know, and then I got back on it a little longer, and then pretty soon, I'm going, man, I'm going. I'm riding that thing. Now, I'm a little older than I was back then. But you put me on a bike, I'll just ride it like nothing. Why? Because I've been trained in righteousness. I mean, in bike riding. Same with a car. I remember when I first drove a car. I was like, oh boy, you got to stay in that lane. Woo, woo, woo. Like your wife, Bobby. Woo, woo. And finally, you know, I got it. I was trained to drive it. Now I get in a car, it's like nothing. I can just do it. I can just drive. And so I'm just saying to you, and sometimes it's too much like nothing. We don't pay attention, right? but I'm just saying that God wants you to be trained in righteousness. So it's habitual in your life. And the bad habits that you have, he wants to replace them with good habits. So it's profitable to do that as you continue in that. And it says, but whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, notice that, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You gotta put it into practice. And lastly, it is not only, number one, personal and private information, number two, profitable information, but lastly, it's perfecting information. It says that the man of God may be what? Perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The pastor is to preach and teach the word, listen, to perfect the saints. It says, and he gave some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. You know what? Some people think a pastor is just a hired gun. He goes in and does the ministry. No. He is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. And how does that happen? It's through the preaching and teaching of the Bible, the Word of God, the perfecting of the saints. Well, what does the word perfecting mean? It means maturity. Charles Ware, our former pastor, used to say, Bloom, my goal is to have mature ministering saints. Would to God that we would have more mature ministering saints. Too many baby Christians, too many thumb-sucking Christians, too many of them today, and too little mature ministering saints. And it would be solved by a ministry of the word where people stay put, they stay steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and they stay and they benefit from that private personal information, that profitable information, and that perfecting information that you would get from God, and that you would stay in this book in your reading and in your study. May God help you. What are we preaching on? Building lives upon solid foundations. Number one, the living word of God, but tonight, the written word of God. Those are the two foundations that we want to build on. And we trust that you will help us to do that and work with others, because you have a work to do. And if you're mature, you can carry on that work. A person that's not mature, he can't carry much of anything. When I was a little kid, I couldn't carry much. I couldn't carry much. But God wants you to be mature. And many of you are mature and have grown, and you carry ministries. You carry it, but you can't carry it if you're not mature. So build your life on the solid foundation of the Word of God. If you've been neglecting it, correct that. Amen. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking.